All right. Well, we've been looking at how suffering fits in with God's eternal purpose concerning the birth of Jesus, because the events surrounding the birth of Christ were all centered on human suffering. Thus far, we've seen the righteous and the rulers and the rejected, the three R's. And maybe I should have put this chart up earlier, but we'll wait till the last lesson so you can get your notes straight. But we looked at Mary, the pregnant virgin. Of course, she's going to draw a lot of criticism from the community. And then poor Joseph, he thought she had cheated on him, and he struggled, what should I do with her? We looked at Emperor Augustus and how he had caused millions of people to suffer because of his demand for a census, forcing families to travel to the cities of their fathers. We looked at the shepherds, the outcasts of society. And yet, they were God's first preachers, if you will, of the Messiah's arrival. We looked at Simeon. We looked at Anna in the temple. Remember that Simeon was not allowed to die until he had seen the child. And poor Anna had been a widow for decades. She's in her 80s. She's probably poor. But through the suffering of all these people, God used them. Now, they may not have realized that, but God even uses us when we may not realize it either. So now what we're doing is we're leaving the manger scene. We're leaving Jerusalem at the temple. Time has passed by, and the child Jesus is now almost 2 years old. So think about two-year-olds. He's a toddler. He's walking. He's eating solid foods. He's starting to jibber-jabber and talk. And Mary and Joseph are just a couple of proud parents soaking it all in. But remember this, a little fact that I always overlook. Mary and Joseph's home was in Nazareth. They came to Bethlehem for the census. That's where Jesus was born. 40 days later, they go to Jerusalem. They dedicate Jesus at the temple. But almost 2 years later, they're still in Bethlehem in a house. Why? Matthew 2:11. They had moved to Bethlehem. The census caused a bigger uprooting of families than we realize. Some of you know what it's like to move a long distance away just because of circumstances, and everything gets thrown out of whack. Your normal lifestyle, throw that out the window. Your life is disrupted, and that's Mary and Joseph. Everything in their lives has changed because of the birth of this child. So now this puts us again at the rulers, specifically Herod the Great, the king of the Jews. Understand that Herod the Great was known to be very paranoid. He was suspicious of everybody. If he even thought that anyone was trying to overthrow him, he would have them killed. History tells us that Herod killed his own wife. He killed her mother. He killed his oldest son. And he also killed two other sons of his. Caesar once said that it was better to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's child. When there are wicked rulers, everybody suffers. And yet, that is still all within God's eternal purpose. So with that in mind, if we think of the rejected, we think about the Magi or the wise men. These guys were innocent. They're not evil men by any means. Gentiles, yes, but not evil. In fact, they went and sought to worship Jesus. So these wise men, these magi, skilled in philosophy and science and medicine and astrology, astronomy. And we're not going to get into this point too deeply. But if I were to ask, what did the wise men follow to Jerusalem? We'd say, well, they followed the star. What we have traditionally called a star, according to the term that's used, it's more about the brightness of it. We just explain it as a star because in our minds, what shines bright and it's in the sky? Well, a star. And that's why it's translated that way. But it probably has more to do with what's called the Shekinah glory that you read of in the Bible. Basically a heavenly brightness. But we're just going to go ahead and associate it with a star because that makes it easier to explain. But apparently this star is what connected the wise men to the birth of Jesus. And so they travel all the way to Jerusalem from the far east with the intention of worshiping the King of the Jews. Now I invite you to open your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. This is where we're going to look this morning. Matthew chapter 2. And in Matthew 2, we're not trying to tear down the nativity scenes or anything like that. But it's just a biblical point. The wise men were not at the manger scene. Okay, that's just how it was. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and have come to worship him." And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Well, because of Herod's paranoia, he's very alarmed at the mention of another Jewish king other than himself. Wasn't he the only king of the Jews? Was someone planning a coup? Rebellion? What's going on? In Herod's mind, unless he takes drastic measures, he's going to lose his throne. It says that he was troubled. Have you ever heard the saying, "If mama's not happy, nobody's happy"? Well, that's how it was in Jerusalem. If Herod's not happy, Jerusalem's not happy. It says that Herod was troubled and all Jerusalem was troubled. It's because the Jews had a reason to be afraid of the king, especially when the king is crazy and unpredictable. What's he going to do? And Herod was determined that he's going to locate this child, he's going to find him, and he's going to exterminate the threat. So Herod asks the chief priests and the scribes, "Where is this child supposed to be born?" And so they quote Micah chapter 5, if you skip down in verse number 6. "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." So let's kind of put all these facts in the proper order here. The Magi come and tell the king that the Messiah has already been born. The star brought the Magi to Jerusalem. So where do the Magi think the baby is? In Jerusalem, because that's where this star brought us. But after talking to the Jewish scribes, Herod now knows that the baby was to be born in Bethlehem. Look at verse 7. "Then Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star appeared." And what happens, of course, is that Herod puts on an act for these Magi and makes them think that, oh yeah, I want to worship the baby too. I mean, these Magi were pawns in a very cruel game. They were being used. And Herod says, "Well, fellas, when you get to Bethlehem, find out exactly where he is, and then come let me know, because I want to go and worship him." Verse number 9, "Having heard the king, they went their way. And lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over where the child was." So that star that was seen in the east, first of all, you're going to notice something on a map. Stars don't move east to west, okay? But that's how this one was. Starts in the far east, and then now it appears in Jerusalem, and now it appears over Bethlehem. But it is so low in the sky, it shows them exactly which house the child is in. And that's why the term that's used is more about the brightness of it than the actual star. But these Magi, back in their homeland, they were popular people. In fact, people treated Magi almost like royalty, kind of like how Daniel was in Babylon. Notice who bows to who. As soon as they enter the house, they throw themselves to the ground, and these wise men worship the child. And since you never approached royalty without a gift, These wise men had brought very expensive presents. These magi come from the east. However many they were, they just think it. Well, there's a couple reasons they say three wise men. Number one, there's three gifts. Well, that's not very good reasoning, is it? But anyway, number two, there is an old Catholic tradition, and they actually named the three guys. But that's why three is often thrown out there. We don't know how many there were, but they had carried these gifts with them for miles. A reasonable guess of how far they had traveled was at a minimum 1,000 miles. Perspective, that's from here to New York City. That's a long way to travel just to see a child. I'm sure Mary and Joseph were very surprised at the gifts and everything else. This child is being worshipped by these foreign dignitaries, being given expensive gifts. So once they do that, now there's only one thing left to do for these wise men: return to Herod and tell him exactly where the child is. But although this sinister plot was hidden from the Magi, it certainly was not hidden from God. He was watching out for the Magi. Did you know that God watches out for the little guy? Always has, always will. And so God tells the wise men, flee, run away, go home. But make sure you go a different way, an alternate route. Think about these magi. You want to talk about suffering. They had traveled all that way to worship the child. Now they leave with a bounty on their heads. But if they didn't suffer, God's plan didn't work. God uses suffering to bring about his purpose. What purpose did the wise men serve? Well, first of all, now Herod knows, and all Jerusalem now knows, that the King of the Jews has been born in Bethlehem. That's why the star, quote unquote, the star, took the wise men to Jerusalem first, then to Bethlehem. But remember the gifts that they gave Mary and Joseph. Those are going to come in handy later on. But now we go back to those two righteous parents, and they're going to have to uproot their family once again. Look at verse 13. Now when they, the wise men, had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Remember that Bethlehem is just a couple miles, few miles outside of Jerusalem. Herod is not far away from these guys at all. But God's purpose has an order. And every domino, you ever line up the dominoes and you just have to hit one, right? Hit one and the rest will fall. That's exactly how God's purpose works. Each domino has to fall, but it has to fall in proper succession. Our problem is we say to God, okay, Lord, I need this domino to fall, please. And God says, okay. But 17 others before it have to fall first. The wise men had to come first before Mary and Joseph could be told to flee to Egypt. You know, sometimes God's purpose doesn't make sense to us. And we think, well, shouldn't it happen this way? And God's saying, no, stop questioning me. I've got it all worked out. And we just need to trust in God. It is one of the simplest principles for us to learn. We're just too stubborn to learn it. God's will is going to be done whether you like it or not. And God's will is going to be done in His time, not yours. God knows that even the smallest little details have to happen in order to fulfill His purpose. And I don't see Joseph kind of hem-hawing on this. It says the angel appeared to him in a dream. Well, when do you dream? At night. Joseph and his family leave during the night. I think it's the same night. I think that with Joseph, he didn't hesitate. What's it like to pack up your family? Anyone packed before and moved? Yeah, like 20 times type of thing? Yeah. What's it like to pack up your family with a toddler and now move to another country? Oh yeah, you got about an hour to do it. Start packing quick. Keep in mind that this child, this sounds bad, but this child wasn't even in Mary and Joseph's plans to begin with. They were busy planning a wedding. You ever stop to think about that? They're planning a wedding. They're dreaming of what their lives are going to be like together. And then out of the blue, bang, God's will comes barging into their lives and derails their dreams. And that's our problem. We like to plan out our life. We don't like surprises. But I'll tell you what, not a single person here can confidently say, where I am today is exactly how I planned it. Not one of us can say that. Not even close. So in the middle of the night, Joseph takes the child and his wife and they leave for this foreign country. Well, how long am I going to be gone? Until I tell you otherwise. Was this stressful for them? 2020 had nothing on them. Was this inconvenient? Well, would this cause a little anxiety, do you think? Don't fight against the will of God. Take each day as God gives it to us. Remember what Jesus said about tomorrow? It's got enough troubles of its own. Don't worry about that today. Don't be so stressed about your week, your life next week. Focus on today. God's will is going to be done. So they're on their way to Egypt, but if they get caught, they're dead. And why Egypt? Why Egypt? Out of all the places they could have gone, why Egypt? I mean, those are the ancient enemies of the Jews. Now, it should be said, yes, there actually were a lot of Jews living in Egypt at this time. But Mary and Joseph are going to a land that is unknown to them. The language is different, the culture is different, the people are different, and most importantly, the gods are different. Doing the will of the Lord will not exempt you from suffering. It will expose you to suffering. They are refugees in a strange land. This traveling they did with a toddler. People are uncomfortable when a baby cries on an airplane for a couple hours. Think about how long it took them to get to Egypt. Traveling for weeks on the back of a donkey or by foot, sleeping on the ground at night. Mary and Joseph didn't take, you know, whatever, United down from Bethlehem to Cairo and stay at the Hilton that night or anything like that. Life was difficult. Throw in these two facts, they're newlyweds and they're new parents. Do you know how much stress newlyweds can go through? Do you know how much stress new parents can go through? Let's just add that into everything they're going through here. But one thing God does promise is that He will always be there for us, especially in the hard times. In fact, we've already seen how God provides. Mary and Joseph were poor. How are they going to afford a move like this? How are they going to afford to live in a foreign nation? Well, remember those expensive gifts from the Magi. They can live on those things until Joseph can find work. I mean, it's just a recap here. Started with a mysterious pregnancy. They traveled to Bethlehem for a census. Their baby was born in a stable or a cave. The first visitors they had were these stinky shepherds. They go to the temple and the words of two humble servants, Simeon and Anna, just blow them away. They move to Bethlehem for a couple years away from their home. Then they have a visit from these foreign dignitaries, these magi. They have a very hasty pack up and move. Now they're refugees in Egypt, and all of that in 2 years. That's a lot to do in 2 years, isn't it? But through it all, they never lost faith. They refused to throw in the towel. So now let's go back to the rulers. Now we see how wicked King Herod really was. Look at verse 16. Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged. and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. Now, it's one thing to be paranoid, but this takes insanity to a whole new level. And in his outburst of rage, he orders that all of the male children, not just in Bethlehem, did you notice that? All the environs around it. I've always wondered, did that include Jerusalem? Because it was only a few miles away. Regardless, if they are under 2 years old, execute them. What would that be like? Herod's soldiers going from house to house to house, snatching these baby boys away from their mother's grasp and taking out their daggers and killing these children. And there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to sit there and watch your child be murdered. Herod is trying to frustrate the eternal purpose of the Most High God. But God foiled his first attempt. God's going to foil his next attempt. You can't stop God's purpose. As the Bethlehem toddlers are being killed, the boy that Herod is actually after has left the country. And this is the hard part for us to swallow. Okay, this is the part we don't like. God's eternal purpose will be carried out, and sometimes that means that the truly innocent will suffer. We don't like that part. Think about these rejected ones, these innocent ones. You don't get more innocent than little kids. What are the mothers in Bethlehem going through right now? This was an unprovoked and a cowardly act. These parents had not rebelled against Herod. This was simply the cruelty of a madman. We live in a world where wicked rulers bring suffering on the innocent. Why did God allow this? Couldn't there be some other way that God could have done it to fulfill his purpose? We need to be careful when we start to reason the whys of God's will. That's not for us to understand. However, we don't have to look beyond our own borders to see that this country, the US of A, this is a Bethlehem, isn't it? This is a Bethlehem. Now, you can't watch the news without seeing the recent statistics on COVID. It was reported last week that COVID has been connected to 215,000 deaths in the United States. That's a big number. That's a big number. And we all know the precautions and the measures we've taken, the money that has been spent, the changes that we have made as a nation, 215,000 deaths connected to COVID. However, a few years ago, in 2017, the number of abortions, unborn children, was 862,000. That's four times more than COVID. And that number was actually bragged about because it was such a record low number. You want to talk about equality? You want to talk about injustice? You want to talk about unborn lives matter? What about those over 750,000 voices each year that will never get to speak? And I'm going to tell you, this is not a political issue. It's a moral issue. Always has been. We might gasp at what Herod did to Bethlehem, these babies. But the world around us, this country, is no different. Someone asked, how does abortion fit in with the will of God? I don't know. How does he allow the death of innocent ones like this? I don't know. Why did he allow Herod to do such a wicked thing? I don't know. But it's clear that God does use suffering, even the suffering of children, for his eternal purpose. That's why I said we don't like to talk about this. We don't like this part. These little boys in Bethlehem were killed because they lived in a world where sin reigns. the year that Christ was born. I know there's even songs that are often sung at certain times of the year about the year then Christ was born. That would be a year that Bethlehem mothers would want to forget, don't you think? That would be a year that they would want to just do away with. It was a year of heartache and loss. Look at verse 17. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. How many babies and toddlers were killed by Herod? How many suffering families are there? But let's again look at the righteous. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, you're going to notice something in the Bible. When it talks about rulers who do some horrible, evil thing, many of those times in the following chapter, it will talk about their death. God avenges. Remember that. God avenges. But verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Herod dies, and God tells Joseph that his family can now go back to Israel. He uproots his family once again, and they return. After a while, wouldn't you get weary of moving? Ashley, she remembers how many times we've moved. It's a lot more than I thought. Apartment to house to this place. That was international borders too. That was no fun. But after a while, you get weary of moving, especially with a small child. But Mary and Joseph lived by that mantra, thy will be done, Lord, whatever it is. They didn't understand all of it, but they knew that God had a reason. He had a purpose to fulfill. And so that takes you back to the rulers and this pleasant gentleman named Archelaus. Verse 22, but when he, Joseph, heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee. Well, when a wicked ruler dies, another often takes their place. This time, it's Herod's son, Archelaus. This is the really cool part, if you can find cool part in the cruelty of a madman. Why was Joseph so afraid to go back to Bethlehem? Well, because Archelaus was no better than his dad. Just to give you an idea, there was a point in history where Archelaus actually orders the massacre of 3,000 Jews. He orders it and it's done. 3,000 Jews are slain. I mean, this guy was just as bloodthirsty as his dad was. Historically, the Jewish and the Samaritan leaders actually complain to Rome about how savage Archelaus was. And the funny thing is, Rome listens. And Rome actually disposes of Archelaus in the 9th year of his reign. And in his place, instead of using kings like they had been over the Jews, Rome now appointed governors over each district. Men like Pontius Pilate. You see how all that works? You see how God was using suffering to fulfill his purpose way down the road. God allowed the people to suffer from the hands of King Archelaus so that Archelaus would eventually be replaced with Roman governors, men like Pilate. As king, like with Herod, Herod had the authority to kill a bunch of kids. He had that authority. But then Rome takes that authority away from the Jewish rulers and sets up Roman rulers, governors. That's why the Jews could not kill Jesus. That's why they had to get the Romans to do it. And how did all of that start? With King Archelaus being so barbaric that Rome replaced that whole system with Roman governors. And then finally, we have the rejected. In verse 23, it closes out the chapter, and he came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. The Messiah will be known as a Nazarene, but don't think that that is some title of importance. That is not something you make t-shirts of. I am a Nazarene. Okay, that would not cause the people to ooh and ah over you. Nazareth was not a well-respected town at all. Do you remember the words of Nathanael? What good can come out of Nazareth? Who ever heard of a king being born in a dinky little town like Bethlehem and being raised in a despised town like Nazareth? But all of that was in God's eternal purpose. And God's purpose still goes on even today. And one of the ways that he brings about his purpose is through suffering, like it or not. And if truth be told, we're willing to accept that as long as it's not me who suffers, right? As long as it's somebody else. God's purpose might be fulfilled through your suffering. You may not know the whys of it. It may not even be seen until years down the road, or maybe never. But God fulfills his purpose through suffering. Deep down, we know that suffering is good medicine. It just tastes horrible at the time. But God fulfills his purpose through suffering. It's needed. To do away with suffering would be to do away with God's will. We don't see the big picture as people. We're too busy putting our little problems under the microscope and blowing them up and making them bigger than they really are. Just submit to the will of God. You don't need to know all the whys of life. Just trust and obey. Suffering comes to innocent people, and it comes to common people like you and I. I am preaching to the choir. If we were to take a list of those that are seated here today, and I want you to talk about or just mention the top three things that you suffered with in your life, and if we were to comprise that list and read it, you would say, wow, we have some people who have really suffered. All of us suffer. It comes to the common person just like you and I. But in all things, God's will be done. I want you to turn to the hymn of encouragement, please. Then I'd like your attention back. We always offer heaven's invitation. If any this morning have not yet become a Christian, been baptized into the blood of Christ, we invite you to do that today. Or maybe you're just a weary Christian and you need some help. We're here to help you with that. Let's remain seated as we sing this last song.